Wayfair's big sale is returning. Get ready for Way Day. For 4 days only, score up to 80% off all things home with free shipping on everything. From October 26th through 29th, score Wayfair's best deals, like up to 80% off area rugs, up to 60% off mattresses, up to 60% off bedroom furniture, and more exclusive doorbuster deals. So mark your calendar and shop Way Day starting October 26th at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
On News Talk.
I've seen a lot of people recently online, even on social media, talking about pensions. Obviously, in advance of the auto-enrolment coming in, where do you start? How do you manage your pension over the course of your lifetime? And what do you do in relation to drawing it down when you do decide to retire? So over the next 3 days, we are going to chat to Rafe Benson from MoneyCube. And today we're going to specifically talk, though, about getting your pension started. It's the very beginning. I suppose it's a little bit of a simplistic guide, if you like, over the next 3 days to answer our listener questions.
Yeah. Hi, Andrea. Yeah, good to be with you and looking forward to discussing it.
Yeah, 087 1400 106 is the WhatsApp number. So we've decided we're just out of college. We've got our first job. We feel we're in a position to start a pension. Is that the point? When do you start?
Well, I'm delighted to hear that just out of college, you're top of your financial priorities is starting a pension.
Because
yeah, your investment time frame is perfect there. You've got about kind of 80 years of investing to go. You know, I guess realistically, we've all got loads of demands on our money. You know, and when you finish college and for a good while after, you know, it's not top of anyone's list, let's be honest. There's competing things about putting money together for rent or deposit on a flat and all that kind of thing. So the big question about getting started is how do you find a little home in your financial life for putting some money away for your future self, you know? And it is the case that the earlier you start, the easier it's going to be because that money is investing and compounding for you over the years.
Okay, so it is pretty daunting to get started.
I guess so, yeah. I do it every day, but there's no doubt that there's a bit of trepidation around it.
So I think where it becomes maybe, you know, a little bit of a concern for people is understanding how much you should be setting aside. So is there a guide, is there a rough estimate of what we should put into the pot?
To be honest, that's going to be different for everybody. And it's not really the mistake that people make. You know, the reason people find themselves, say, working an extra year before they can hang up their boots or not being as wealthy as they'd hoped in retirement is not that they put, I don't know, 200 quid in, you know, 20 years ago when they should have put in 250. But it is that they thought there's going to be some day in the future where I'm going to have enough to put away and start my pension. So I'll just leave that till next year, you know. So it's much more important in terms of thinking about this problem and how you build this wealth that you actually do something. And like, I think a lot of us, when it comes to money decisions, we focus on kind of, you know, this making the best the enemy of the good. You know?
Well, you're probably not, you know, like, I mean, being realistic about this, unless you're in a civil service job, if you're working for a private or commercial company, you might not be thinking, well, I certainly wasn't thinking about my pension in my 20s, not till well into my 30s. But it's actually then knowing how much you should put aside, because now you're playing catch up with all the civil servants. So what would you say to former me or people like me out there?
Yeah, well, if I were talking to former you, I would say do something rather than nothing. Start with what you can afford, right? It is no good starting with something that's a stretch for you and then 3 months down the road you go, do you know what, I can't handle this, or I get myself into further trouble, overdrafts and credit cards and whatnot, you know? So that's an important bit. You're right. Like, you know, if you're 10 years away from retirement and you're putting in €50 a month, it's really not going to move the dial for you. And I guess we're going to come on and talk about auto enrollment and what place that has in it. But I would say, you know, like, compare it to what you're earning and what you're spending, right? And then there's some figures to be done based on what you've got already, what you can afford to do, and how long you've got to go, that are going to come at a number for you that's appropriate, that's sustainable, and actually going to make a meaningful difference to your retirement.
So when you're starting out, Rafe, there's three different brackets, isn't there, that you can fall under in terms of how risky you want to be with this?
Yeah, that's a good way to categorise it, yes.
Okay,
yeah,
so talk us through those.
Well, I guess in terms of investment risk, right, so risk is the flip side of reward in financial yeah. world, you know. So right now, for example, you know, money that has no risk attached to it gets 2%. That's the European Central Bank's interest rate. You won't find it from the Irish banks, but you can get it elsewhere, you know. So that's your kind of baseline. And I guess at the other end of the scale, there's equity risk, which, depending on what you're in, can be 10%+ per year, but with scope for very drastic drawdowns. You know, there have been periods when the stock market has lost 40% of its value, you know. So I guess most people in their pensions, depending on where they are versus, you know, drawing that money down, will flex that risk scale, right?
And is it up to you as the individual to decide what level of risk you're taking, or presumably your advisor would advise you on that?
Advisors advise, but clients decide, right? So, right. So yes, it is ultimately up to the person. It's their money. And I think that's something we forget about pensions. It belongs to you, you know? It's yeah. not some abstract thing. It's like your bank account.
So when you start out, we'll say, just use the example of somebody in their 20s maybe starting out, and they're advised to put the money into the high-risk fund because, obviously, of their age demographic. At what point, then, do you move that to the medium bracket?
Yeah, great question. Like, I would say, you know, the thing about risk, it's deceptive, and we humans don't always perceive risk very accurately. One of the riskiest things you could do if you're in your 20s or 30s is put your pension into cash, because you are guaranteed that that money is going to be worth less when you draw it down than it's worth when you put it in, due to inflation and the value of that declining, you know. I would say, you know, when you approach kind of 10 years from laying your hand on that money, so call it your early to mid 50s or so, that's when you want to be checking in on this and going, am I comfortable with that? If my pension were to lose 20% of its value, you know, what would I do? Would I work longer? Would I be philosophical about it and say it'll be okay next year? Will I have sleepless nights? It's all that kind of question. And it's different for everyone, but it's, you know, playing that scenario through in your mind and going, well, how would I feel if that happens to me? Can I cope with it? And what are the real consequences for me financially?
How do we pay the pension?
Well, you put the money in, right?
Yeah. Each month and pre-tax.
Yeah, some people will have this through their work, right? And that's the easiest thing, especially if you're kind of early stage in your career, right? The money will be deducted from your salary, your employer will be contributing, and it tips away each month. And I'd really say, whatever stage you're at, a monthly amount going into your pension is a great financial habit to have, right? So that everything isn't predicated on a big, you know, lump sum before you put your tax return in or whatever it is, because you've had a great year or you got a bonus or any of that kind of stuff. So monthly paying it in, eating the elephant slowly, is the bedrock of pensions for most people.
It's only just like one of the direct debits coming out each month.
Exactly. And yeah. I suppose where it's different is if your employer does not have a pension scheme in place, it's going to be down to you to make that initial phone call, to sign the direct debit mandate, make sure you're getting the tax relief and the tax credits for it and all that kind of thing. But fundamentally, a monthly financial habit is a great bedrock for your pension.
And the money, the tax relief, how will people starting out, you know, how will they know that has been applied, that they're getting that?
Just in practical terms, you know, there's a standard form document that you present to Revenue. They can see you're dropping in, I don't know, 200 quid a month or whatever it is into your pension, and they'll adjust your tax credits. So you'll effectively, then you'll receive a greater level of tax credit, so less tax will be taken from your paycheck. But obviously, you've got this new direct debit going into your pension.
Auto-enrolment. A lot of our listeners have been hearing about this, obviously, now, Rafe, over the past 2 years or so. So it'll kick in. What do listeners need to do in relation to that?
Well, the beauty of auto-enrolment is you don't need to do anything. So it's auto. So that's a good thing. And it's long overdue, right? So, it's going to help people build up some wealth, whether they sign anything or whether they make that phone call or not. So that's all good. I guess what I'd say, particularly if you're mid to late career, is auto-enrolment is not the solution to your wealth in retirement. Mm. It will help. It's all good. It's overdue. And, you know, some people who have no pension provision will be very glad of it. But, you know, what auto-enrolment is really about is a route for the state to avoid the long-term commitments of the state pension, which we know are not affordable as society gets older and so forth. It is not a replacement for building material wealth so that you can get out of the workforce when you want to.
Yeah, and in terms of if you already have a private pension?
if you already have a private pension, you probably won't be auto-enrolled. So it really won't affect you, except to say that it's raising the general consciousness about the need to do this and I guess how serious financially the what it means to build up your pension wealth.
Now, just some listeners' questions on this. Yeah, listener just actually asking about the auto-enrolment. Is it just another term for pension? Claire is wondering, is there any truly ethical pension, one that doesn't involve investing in multinational corporations?
Yeah, it's a great question. I suppose what I'd say is, if you're investing to begin with, whether it's in a pension or anything else, you're a capitalist, right? You're putting your capital into something in order to grow. Ethics are different for everyone, you know? And like, if I take the example of defence, we've a lot of customers who would have come to us and not been comfortable investing in companies that are, I don't know, in the weapons business or any of that kind of stuff, right? That's very different now than it was maybe 3 years ago, when we're in a world where, you know, wars of aggression take place and there's a very different debate in Irish society about what we should be doing in terms of investing defence and so forth. So I guess what I'd say is ethical, you know, everyone's ethics are personal to them. Yes, you certainly can make choices around how you invest your money. As I say, it's your money. But the key thing when you're doing this is, you know, you need and you kind of have a responsibility to make that money work for you. And that involves putting it into companies that are going to invest it for growth.
A listener says, if I'm earning over 40,000 a year and my company doesn't pay into a pension, is it worth my while starting one or wait for auto-enrolment?
I would say it's well worth your while starting a pension. You know, now you will probably be auto-enrolled come January, but that's not to say that you couldn't save a substantial amount of tax ahead of the tax deadline next month by putting in a lump sum and claiming back tax you already paid last year. You know, as I say, the auto-enrolment is, the amounts are comparatively modest. It's a 1.5% deduction from your salary and a 1.5% contribution from your employer. So, you know, just be realistic about what auto-enrolment can do for you and be honest with yourself about, you know, how you can turn that money with tax savings and tax-free growth and a tax-free lump sum at drawdown into a meaningful pot of money for you that's going to pay off your mortgage, get you out on time, all that kind of stuff.
Well, we hope that at least today's conversation might help or assist anybody who's thinking of starting or hoping to start a pension in the next couple of weeks. We are going to be talking about minding and managing that pension fund on tomorrow afternoon's show. If you've questions about that, actually, you can drop us an email, lunchtimelive@newstalk.com. Rafe Benson from Moneycube, thanks a million for joining us here on the show today.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
Weekdays at midday on News Talk.
Wayfair's big sale is returning. Get ready for Way Day. For 4 days only, score up to 80% off all things home with free shipping on everything. From October 26th through 29th, score Wayfair's best deals. Like up to 80% off area rugs, up to 60% off mattresses, up to 60% off bedroom furniture, and more exclusive doorbuster deals. So mark your calendar and shop Way Day starting October 26th at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.